With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18-plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It's a tremendous Tuesday edition. It is a live broadcast. It is June 17th, 2014. I'm Doug Hagman. With me in studio is a fellow investigator, my son, Joe Hagman. We are together. We are the Hagman and Hagman Report. For new listeners, folks, you're listening to the only show that, well, that broadcasts the news to you, where the news is presented to you in 3D. We look well beyond the headlines, the bylines, bring you the news behind the news, and there's a lot of that today. We broadcast live each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Eastern. You can find us on the internet at HomelandSecurityUS.com. My articles also appear at CanadaFreePress.com. Now, there's a reason I'm saying that. Obviously, I'm going to get to something here in a moment. But folks, we're also simulcast. This show is also simulcast by the Christians United Broadcasting Network. There, tune us in at thehagman and hagmanreport.com. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for your belief and your trust in us as we walk through this minefield of current events together. I'm going to be putting up some pictures from the conference, from the Whitestone Conference. I was wrestling with this, whether or not we should do it, that I should do it. I think I'm going to do it here in the next 24 hours. Some good stuff. Some people in the chat had already seen some of the images, but for the general populace, it was a great broadcast. Tonight, Tuesday, with Stan Deo, second hour guest. Tomorrow night, folks, tune in. Two insiders going by initials. V&W. Or W&V, depending on which you want to. How do you want to put it? V, Financial Insider, The Guerrilla Economist, W, our Intelligence Insider. Together, it's going to be a fantastic show. Thursday, Steve Quayle. That's right. You heard me right. Thursday, Steve Quayle. See, this morning, folks, again, picture this. I'm sitting in my office at 7:30 in the morning. It's quiet. I've got a little bit of classical music on in the background. Dogs in the studio with me. Goes to the studio every day with me. It's quiet. Again, 7:30 in the morning. Eastern time. So that would make it, what, mountain time? 5:30 in the morning. The phone rings. I pick it up, and it's Steve. I pick it up, and it's Doug Hagman. He said,
Hey, Steve.
I said, hey, buddy, what's going on? You know, everything all right?
Yeah, we're going to do a show Thursday, right?
I said, yeah, Steve, Thursday. We got it.
Man, we got a lot of news going. Yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, it was great. I guess I really can't do impressions well, so I shouldn't even try. But you've got to understand Steve Quayle, how he is, and those people at the conference that were with him. I mean, I love him as a brother. I really do. So I say this with love. I'm not making fun of him at all. But he was so intense. At that hour, and I'm thinking, if you're that intense at 5:30 in the morning, what are you by noon? You know, I mean, you just got to be like on a roll. So Thursday, it's going to be great. We're going to have him on. Joe, welcome to the program this evening.
Great to be here tonight. Just want to let folks know if we, for whatever reason, seem to drop off for a moment, We have two severe thunderstorm warnings, a severe thunderstorm watch, a special warning statement, and some nice thunderstorms rolling through right now. So just want to let you guys know.
By the way, just so you know, too, the generator that does power this studio up will be in full swing. It was there's a whole big thing going on with the generator that powered up the studio because of the wattage that it took, and there was this they installed a smart box, not a smart meter, but a smart box. And electricians know about this. But anyway, the bottom line was they put in a wrong type of box where power outages, which we get frequently in this part of the country. It's like living in Beirut, you know? I mean, I don't know. That should not happen. It's going to be fixed next week. It'll be fully functional next week. So at the very least, you know, these storms, you might hear it through the metallic roof or whatever, you know, you might hear certain things, but in terms of the thunder, lightning, but in the rain, but the windows or what have you, but beyond that, I don't think you'll have a problem. We'll have a problem after that. Thank you so much, babe. Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm thanking my wife. We're on the radio. She just brought me a cup of coffee. She's in the studio today. One of the first times in studio during her program, and she's brought me a cup of coffee, and I want to just say thank you and tell her how much that I care about her. I love her. And showing me the size of hailstones, I believe those are hailstones. What are those? Hailstones? Okay, 20 miles from us, hailstones. I've got a photograph. I'm looking at a photograph the size of golf balls. It's incredible here, the weather.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
You know, you can send those to the local weather channel, and they'll post them up on the website or on the news. I've done that before.
Seriously. Hailstones the size of golf balls. Eggs, you know, extra large eggs, and unbelievable. But thank you, sweetheart, for that. Appreciate that. I couldn't get to the coffee pot time. So.
Funnel clouds also.
Funnel clouds. All right.
20 miles or so away.
Dorothy and Toto coming at you. We've got a lot of news to get into. One of the big things, of course, folks, if you were paying attention to the news today, we know that we had an explosion.
This is about the explosion in Arizona?
No, we had an explosion of the gas line in Ukraine, right? You all know about that.
I heard that they shut yesterday. Didn't they shut off the gas to Ukraine?
Well, there was back and forth dealings between Russia for unpaid bills and what have you, the lack of payment. But the Brotherhood pipeline that was built in 1967. This pipeline is called the Brotherhood pipeline. It was built in 1967. Now think about the symbology behind that. But that aside, exploded. There was an explosion that took place. Flames 200 meters high. I believe two people were injured in this explosion. Folks, look, I don't know what else to say except. It's my belief, I certainly believe, based on information from my sources, that that this particular explosion was most likely caused by this Western intelligence agencies attempting to sabotage this pipeline. The timing of it is interesting. Of course, it's going to take a while. The pipelines are fairly, I don't want to say simple or easy to fix, but in the scheme of things, relative to other assets, it's not that, I mean, they can be fixed. Once they get to it, once they're able to snuff out the fire and to get it under control and get to it. The fact that it happened in June obviously says, you know, it's better than happening, for example, in December or January or February. it's an inconvenience, it's an imposition, but it's not a life and death situation for the most part. But I you've got to understand that this is what you're watching here, folks, is war. I mean, this is really an artifact of war, an act of war, sabotage. Now, you might hear the on the news, if you hear anything about it, they might blame it on, something going wrong or some mistake somewhere. But look, don't kid yourself. This is street-level gang-type violence taking place. I suppose that's the best way to put it. What we're seeing is fighting on a very limited, structured level or very restrained. We're going to do this, they're going to do that. We do this, they do that. You know, it's, again, it's kind of like gang warfare. Now, we're going to, as the program unfolds, something that I did a lot of research on, and by the way, I was on Deacon John's program today, Freedom Slips Radio. It was a good show. It was a very good show. It was on from 4:15 p.m. until 5 p.m., 45 minutes. Very good host. He's a lawyer on Freedom Slips Radio. Hopefully we'll have the archive up here shortly. And, of course, on Sunday on Dave Hodges' program. But doing a lot of research today about the influx of illegal immigrants from the southern border. And as I began to pull, and I've been doing this research as well over the last several, well, when this really started happening in earnest, and as I'm starting to pull the layers back off this onion, I'm finding that Russia is involved in this to some extent, if you can believe that. Russia, they're kind of stirring up things in Guatemala. If you look at the aliens coming out, illegal aliens coming out of Central, and even to a lesser extent South America, between October and May of this year, the numbers doubled from the same time last year, or from October 2013 to May of 2014 to 2012, the numbers doubled. The women and children are being sent up. The deportation is non-existent. And as the program, as I said, as we get into the program today, I'll explain to you what's really going on. This is happening by design. This is a direct consequence of what we're doing in Ukraine. This is a direct consequence of what's happening in Iraq. This is an extension of Benghazi. Oh, and oh, by the way, you'll hear as well, again, as the program continues, Katala being picked up. And
I have a two-minute speech on Obama with that, whenever you want that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. Now, Joe's under the weather, so he's going to be kind of taking a little bit of a voice sabbatical here. So I'm trying to take the load off of him. So if you think I'm dominating deliberately, it's just to give him a little bit of a break. But
I think I have strep throat. I'm hoping it's just a sore throat, but I feel the, what are those, glands?
Yeah.
Those things get swollen. And I used to get this a lot when I was younger.
I know.
So I hope it's not. I hope I'm just having to deal with a sore throat. But, thank you for that.
But at any rate, all of this, all of what we're seeing is, I would call this, in the current context of things, I would call this, in the context of crisis and chaos, this is actually something that I see taking place. What is taking place here? Everything that we see, whether it's Lois Lerner losing or not being able to pull the emails, saying, hey, sometimes things just happen. Yeah. Do you really believe that? Of course not. So whether it's the IRS/Lois Lerner crime not scandal, but crime, or whether it's the southern border, the influx, the tremendous influx of illegal immigration, or illegal aliens coming across the border. The timing, you've got to question the timing. You've got to look at the timing, the numbers, and what's behind it. These things are not happening in a vacuum. What's going on in Ukraine? What's going on in Iraq? And as the group ISIS goes through Iraq from and to Syria, you still have and then picking up, supposedly, or the supposed alleged Ansar al-Sharia leader, Qatala, the supposed ringleader, or one of the leaders, depending on who you ask and who you listen to, the attacks at Benghazi. All of these things are happening in concert with one another. This is orchestrated. This is like, I don't want to say a finely tuned machine, but certainly things are bouncing off of one another. None of these things are happening in a vacuum. They're all tied together. And this is important for everyone to understand because we'll take a few more steps back, and then we'll get into the two-minute clip. But let's take a few more steps back. Benghazi not only exposed a weapons running operation into Syria, but what else did we learn, or what else was present during that Benghazi time? Well, AQIM, that terrorist group, what were they doing? They're running drugs and weaponry to and from Central, or to and from the Western and Northern Africa, to and from Central and South America. You know, the Russians have a presence over here in Cuba, and certainly they've got a base of operations. So what we're seeing is a very complex game of chess. The reason I mentioned early on, too, about Canada Free Press is I received a comment, or I happened to see a comment, which was also emailed to me. If you haven't read my article, the stage is being set for World War III. Certainly, I would urge everyone to do so and engage in the discussion at Canada Free Press. You can certainly look at the comments, but it's a lively discussion there. There's two parts to it, three parts. There's the article itself, and then you can comment, or you can get into a thread-like discussion. I received this by email. This posted by Helen, and then we'll go to the clip. This is a comment made in response to my article. And I'm going to paraphrase this. I'm not going to read it. Helen wrote that the Progressive Project was well afoot when President George H.W. Bush's ambassador to Iraq, April Gillespie, assured Saddam Hussein that the U.S. would not object to him invading Kuwait because, quote, we did not take sides in disputes between friendly Arab countries, end quote. Well, she writes, and she's dead on accurate. She writes, go back in history a little further. For old Herbie, baby. Try four generations back. Notice the ever-changing names. All four sons are apples that didn't fall from the tree, are rotten to the core in every sense of the word. These are not those not in the limelight are busy conducting family businesses, finance, oil, drugs, trafficking. Go do your research, she writes. Go back to World War II. And then 22 November 1963, Dallas, Texas. When it all began to become undone. Then this latest chapter, 9/11. Some said, that's your Pearl Harbor. Well, I disagree, she writes. It's similar to Pearl Harbor in more ways than one, the hidden plans. But it's more than Pearl Harbor. Can you imagine life today? had there been no 9/11, 01, no Pentagon, no mid-air explosions, and so on, and Building 7 with all the records, and the SEC investigations that were in progress. Now, the reason I read that, to me, that's someone who is thinking bigger and understands the bigger picture. And I know you as an audience appreciate that kind of a view from space, a view from the outer limits of our atmosphere as to what's taking place. She's right. She's correct. But I would urge everyone to take a look at Benghazi. Take a look at you go back and take a look at when it comes to drugs and drug trafficking and arms, weapons trafficking. Take a look at Iran-Contra, what happened in the decisions that were made without Reagan's approval, arguably with or without his knowledge, but without his approval or without his direct instructions by North and others, Poindexter. And understand that that's still going on today. But, I mean, the actions are still going on. The names have changed. The recipients, the senders, or the recipients have changed. But the bottom line is, it's still going on. And it's going on steroids. So this is not about the politics. This is not about Republicans and Democrats. This is not about anything like that. This is about the criminality of the people inside this and other regimes that have been leading this country over the last four generations or more. It's all about to come unraveled, folks. It's all about to come unraveled. And as Steve Quayle says often, you know, right before the end, everything will be revealed. And it will be revealed. And I'll tell you this, as far as I am concerned, in my older age, the more I see, the more my heart hurts. But I'll tell you, in my older age, the more I see, the more I cry out for justice, for the sake of justice, for the sake of those being valiant for the sake of justice. I don't think there's enough. You know, if this were the olden days, I really don't think there would be enough rope or hemp in high oak trees to punish those who have committed treason against this country. That may sound harsh, but when you have almost 5,000 of our men and women that have been murdered, killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, more even, and you have tens of thousands of wounded warriors coming back with missing limbs, PTSD, and their minds just warped, and sick from depleted uranium. Yeah, you go back to Dr. Henry Kissinger in his statement to Alexander Haig in the White House, as reported by none other than Carl Woodward Bernstein, that our military men are nothing more than cannon fodder, dumb, stupid animals.
Dumb, stupid animals to be used as pawns in foreign policy.
Yeah, exactly. Is that what we've come to? Is that where we've been? Some people might. And like I said, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, or progressive, except on the progressive side, you're more communist than American anyway, so what can I tell you? But, you know, from Cheney to Bush to Obama to Jarrett to Biden to Bonnier to Cantor to whoever, you all have blood on your hands. Each and every one of you. Let's play the clip.
This is a clip from today, Obama on Benghazi capture. When Americans are attacked, this country has their back.
The President of the United States is about to make a statement.
Attack on a consulate office there. I said at the time that my absolute commitment was to make sure that we brought to justice those who had been responsible. And yesterday, our special forces, showing incredible courage and precision, were able to capture an individual, Abdul Qatala, who is alleged to have been one of the masterminds of the attack. And he is now being transported back to the United States. I say that, first of all, because we continue to think about and pray for the families of those who were killed during that terrible attack. But more importantly, it's important for us to send a message to the world.
So there you go.
Well, here's one thing that I know Michael Reagan on his, I believe, well, Twitter account. That's Ron Reagan's son. We have to find out who Ms. Qatala, on whose payroll was he on? You know, a lot will change, folks. Look, the fact that he was captured, the official story behind this capture, and what comes out of the mouths of the people, the spokespeople for his capture. Do you think that we're going to get the truth? Do you think that we're going to get? No, this is all a smokescreen. It's not that I would say don't pay attention to what's about the, you know, what's what they're going to say. Just don't expect the truth.
We can listen to what the head of the CIA says about the beauty of Islam.
Yeah.
But for more than three decades, I have also had the tremendous fortune to travel the world, and as part of that experience, to learn about the goodness and beauty of Islam. As a college student in the 1970s, I spent a summer traveling through Indonesia, taking in the wonderful landscape, culture, and people of Java and Bali. Despite my long hair, my earring, and my obvious American appearance, I was welcomed throughout that country in a way that is a reflection of the tremendous warmth of Islamic cultures and societies. Like the president during his childhood years in Jakarta, I came to see Islam, not how it is often misrepresented, but for what it is, how it is practiced every day by well over a billion Muslims worldwide, a faith of peace and tolerance and great diversity. And if you permit me, or I should say, ismahli, Bad Indonesia, Sefarat ila Misr, wa hunak darast Arabiya fi Jamna Amrikiya fi Kahira.
Our CIA that's, director.
That's right. That's the CIA director. Now imagine World War II. What would be the reaction by our grandparents? Well, it depends on your age, great-grandparents, grandparents, parents, whatever, sitting around their Motorolas, the radios, and hearing an address by the CIA director. Well, at the time, of course, it wasn't CIA. It was its predecessor before the Dulles brothers came in. But imagine hearing the head of your intelligence or Department of War or whatever speaking in German. What reaction would those people have? What would our ancestors have? What reaction do we have to John O'Brien speaking in Arabic? Folks, this is a captured, we are a captured operation. W said it best, the United States has been captured. Oh, and also, as you watch Iraq fall from within? Have you noticed how rapid the fall of the various cities has been?
Yeah, and they're saying that Baghdad will not be like the other cities that... actually, I watched some film from different news organizations today that were in Baghdad. Some on the busiest marketplaces in the city that were all closed up, except for one grocer who was had his store open, and they interviewed him and asked what he thought, and he said that he believed that they did not have enough troops, enough power at the moment to take Baghdad. So there's a curfew in place. They said there's lots of checkpoints, police everywhere, and it's hard to move around. It's very dead there, a city of 7 million, but it's a ghost town pretty much.
Yeah, I was muted. Thank you. They don't have to take Baghdad. They don't have to take it right away. They will. All they have to do is isolate it, and that's what essentially that's what they're doing. Now, Obama sent over a few hundred Marines or special forces to protect the embassy, and the embassy is we've poured a ton of money into that embassy. And of course, one would expect the people there to be taking safeguards to destroy any sensitive information. But the point is this. If you look at what happened, I mean, think about what happened with the fall of Saigon, Ho Chi Minh City, back in April 30th, 1975. How quickly that happened. Could it happen in Baghdad? Certainly. On the other hand, does it have to happen? No. They can just, as I said, isolate it, and that's what they're going to do as they march into Aleppo, Damascus, and carry out their mission. Their mission, of course, is to overthrow Assad. That's what this is all about. From the Arab Spring on, that's what this is all about, to isolate Russia, to create this Islamic caliphate through the Levant. But for what reason? Well, it's a realignment of power, and we say this often. The end result here is to destroy the United States. How? From within, and also from without, that being the destruction of the U.S., or the killing off of the U.S. dollar, the petrodollar. But one of the things I really wanted to just draw your attention to, how quickly Iraq fell. The reason it fell so quickly is because they had agents operating from within. The storage depots for weapons and for arms. Government office and offices, they had pre-staged assets there. Spies, if you will. So all they had to do would just say, okay, it's go time, basically. And that's how quickly Iraq has fallen and is falling. You're watching history play out right before your eyes. It's interesting, and I don't quite know how to get into the, or know how to really know what to make of people like Britt Hume, or George Will, or Charles Krauthammer, these supposed intellectuals, journalists, who present a good front, but don't get into the real causes. I mean, they talk very well. They're very articulate. But what are they saying? Are they recognizing what's taking place? Are they telling the American people, are they telling the conservative base who follow them the most what's really taking place? No. And do they know what's really taking place? Is it a matter of ignorance? I don't think so. Remember the movie Red Dawn? One of the memories I had of the early back in 84 or 85, whenever that came out, I don't know, mid-80s, the one movie I did see, I was joking around with W that you know, I don't watch movies, but The one thing I do remember is, remember that Weasley mayor that kind of tried to be friends with the invaders? The only thing I can compare it to, compare people like that to, would be that character in that movie. If you recall the original Red Dawn. They're in positions, and they want to save their own butts, so they're not going to tell the truth. And that's what we're seeing now. We can expect, folks, the far left, the progressives, the MSNBCs, CNBCs, we can expect all of that. We know what's coming out of their mouth. But when the conservative base is not telling the truth, or the whole truth, then we've got a huge problem. And yes, we are definitely captured from within. But think about how quickly Iraq is going down. It seems to have happened overnight, but it was set up for a number of years. It was designed to, just like our country, it was designed to go down exactly how it's going down. Go back to 2008, 1,300 word emails between the British and the French, and talking about, hey, you want to get involved in something in Libya. All of this is pre-planned for what we're seeing unfold right now. So when we are, and the other thing too is when we talk about getting your preps, your food, and like last night's program, and if you can put aside an extra can or two or three, look at how long we've been saying that for. I mean, the world didn't end, or life as we know it didn't end last month or last week or 2 months ago. We've been saying for the past, 9 months, 10 months, a year to do what you can to put an extra can of food aside. How's that coming with everyone? If you don't have the money to go to purchase freeze-dried food, long-term food storage, look, we understand. We're in the same boat. But, clip a few coupons and go in and buy an extra can of this and an extra can of that and get prepared. For as long as we've been saying that, you could have a nicely stocked pantry by now without having to have broken the bank. Have you done that? If not, we're running out of time, folks. Because the supply chain for food will definitely be interrupted. As will the supply for gas, as will the supply for cash. So we need to really get serious right now. And if there's nothing else I can stress, let's get serious right now and putting aside tomorrow. Go to the grocery store. But when you buy a can of beans or two, buy a third or buy what you can. Put it aside. Be prepared to keep a low profile for a while. You're going to need to do that. That's just a little bit of advice, and because we care. One last thing, and I'm going to, Joe, and toss it to you. But what we're working out the logistics, and again, I don't know how we're going to be able to do this without. I've had so many people say, "Can you somehow tell us if we have like-minded people or if we can network with others in a certain city, whether you're in Chicago, Detroit, somewhere in New Hampshire, whatever, wherever." We're going to try to do something without giving away, sharing information, personal information, full names, that is, somehow to work very quickly and very adeptly at creating the ability for you folks to be able to network. Now, our app, our new app on the that was created for us, that's available. If you go to the app store, wherever that is, I guess that's on the somewhere in the clouds or somewhere. You can download an app, and there's a chat feature there, and there's numerous ways we can do things, but if you listen, that is, if you listen to this program on a mobile device, and if you listen to this program on a computer, certainly you can discuss that in the chat room that we have affixed to our BTR channel, as well as Christians United. So there are different ways, but we're looking at being able to get people networking together somehow in some effective and practical fashion while keeping anonymity sacred. Yeah, that's, and I know people have sent us suggestions and ideas. It's really something. I mean, we're trying to do that as well. Now, one more thing before I turn it over to Joe. We had Billy Bear on our program. Do you recall Billy Bear? He was the attorney in New Hampshire.
Yeah, the Common Core meeting. The erotic book reading assignment.
Let me just read this. I just got this from him. He notified me today that the town of Guilford, and folks, this was last month, and he was on our program where he stood up at the school board meeting and said, "Hey, wait a minute. You had made this assignment of this smutty book, and I'm telling my child not to read it," and then asked the school board president, or the principal, I believe it was, to read one of the objectionable sections of the book, right? And, of course, they wouldn't do it. And he surpassed his two-minute time allocation. Folks, he was set up. I don't have any doubt in my mind that he was set up, because they knew in advance he was coming to complain about this book and about the smutty part of the book and how the things went down. I really am not going to say a lot, because the reason I'm not going to say a lot is I received an email from him today, and he writes this: "The town of Guilford, New Hampshire, filed 3 disorderly conduct counts against me. My trial is set for July 15th. The charges are taken right from the statute. These are not violations. They're misdemeanors." He expects, although this is not assured.
He got charged with misdemeanor.
Yes, 3 misdemeanors.
Wow.
3. Folks, now think about this.
These should be summonses. These should be like
exactly
traffic tickets almost. Instead, they're misdemeanors.
Yes, these are misdemeanors.
Could this give him any problems with his status as a lawyer?
This could change his entire life. That if yes, it could, depending. I'm not going to get. Again, if he goes to trial and is found guilty, this could mess with his law license. This could, his ability to practice law. This could do a lot of things. It's not a felony, but a misdemeanor. It's not a summons or a summary offense, but a misdemeanor. And there's a certain stigma that you've got with misdemeanors if found guilty. But he was charged with, out of the crimes, New Hampshire Crimes Code 6442, with 3 counts of disorderly conduct. I'm not going to read the entire complaint or the complaint. In fact, I don't have the complaint. I just have a couple of relevant portions. 3 counts of knowingly refusing to comply with a lawful order of a police officer to move from or remain away from any public place. This is during a meeting of a school, open meeting of a school board, purposely causes a breach of the peace. Okay. Disrupting the orderly, disrupting the orderly conduct of business in any public or government facility, or disrupting any lawful assembly or meeting of persons without lawful authority. Now, I'm not going to get in, again, I'm not going to get into the very specific lawful order, the semantics of everything, but isn't it interesting that the arresting officer there, the one arresting officer, they had him there for, specifically for Mr. Bear. I just find it interesting that, the police department, the police chief, he was the acting chief. The arresting officer was the acting chief. Well, guess who the acting chief is now? You know what? I was just looking at my notes. I can't find his name, but I'll just say this, that he attended a swearing-in ceremony with his husband at City Hall. Okay. Now, you think there's an agenda at play here at New Hampshire, in New Hampshire? How sickening is this? How absolutely sickening is this? I will be doing a column on this, because this has got to be exposed. You've got a father trying to protect his child from smut by the school board, speaks up at the school board over the time allotted by 18 seconds or thereabouts, attempts to make a passionate plea to the school board. And instead of tolerance, which all of these people talk about tolerance in this country, in that state, in that at that moment, he received tolerance for objecting to the pornography, the sexual perversion of that book, and his objection to that, by not only getting smacked with three misdemeanor charges, for which he will stand trial. But the, talking about rubbing salt in the wound, where you have the police chief attending a swearing-in ceremony for being the subject of a swearing-in ceremony, and I really had to bite my tongue just now for what I was going to say. But bringing his husband along. Sodom and Gomorrah. Protecting your children from the smut, from the perversion, and being charged with three misdemeanor violations. Attorney Bear, we're on your side. I did extend an invitation to him to appear tonight to give us an update. Let me just I think he's unable to attend. The prosecutor is a Guilford Police Department sergeant, which means that Burpee, the police chief, Burpee, Bean Burpee is his hyphenated name, must have signed off on going through with prosecuting him. Of course, Bean Burpee is the new police chief, and of course, residing happily with his husband in Guilford, New Hampshire. Perversion out the wazoo.
Got an article here. I don't know if he's got to take a look at, by Waleed Shabbat.
Shabbat, yes.
Ben Barak and Ken Davies. It says the title is shocking. Company that created Obamacare website linked to Benghazi video. And it says, in a shocking discovery, CGI Federal, the Canadian company that built the Obamacare website, appears to have a connection to the Innocence of Muslims video the Obama administration blamed for the Benghazi attacks. Evidence was established in 2010. CGI acquired Stanley Associates, which provides services to the U.S. Federal Civilian Defense and Intelligence Agencies. And it goes through this long list of how this evidence of the Obamacare website being connected with the film Innocence of Muslims is how it is connected, the people that are associated with it. It is a pretty long and extensive write-up. I'm going to send it to you. I don't know if this is something you saw, something that is a good piece of reporting or
something,
not.
Something we saw. We reported on this Stanley Incorporated CGI, the Obamacare website. Absolutely.
But there's a lot more to it in there.
I did see the report, by the way.
Okay.
The full report. And a lot of that information, folks, you can read the article. It's a good article.
Now, to the economy, gasoline at U.S. pumps set to hit six-year seasonal high. Gasoline in the U.S. climbed this week, boosted by a surge in oil prices that are expected to reach the highest levels for this time of the year since 2008. The pump price averaged at $3.68 a gallon yesterday, up 1.2 cents from a week earlier. This is data posted by the Energy Information's website. Shows oil accounts are two-thirds of the retail price, which they were in 2008. Also, price index for meats, poultry, fish, eggs.
Wait a second. Can you go back to, because I think you just said something very important. The gas, the oil prices, say that again.
Oil, which accounts for two-thirds of the retail price of gasoline.
Right.
Gained $2.49 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange in the same period, and $4.88 in the month that ended yesterday. But
okay.
It's up.
All right.
The gallon is up the highest level since
for
this
the last
time
6 years.
In 2008. Correct.
Okay, I got you. So if I'm doing the math correctly, folks, and you can feel free to correct me on this. The increase in the cost of oil is not necessarily consistent with the increase in the cost of the gas.
Correct. Very right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you have the whatever oil is at right now, and you have the price per gallon, and they used to be pretty close. Now there's a big gap between them, even though they use less oil now in the making of gasoline, which is interesting.
Right. They're using, corn, and it's crazy for ethanol. I mean, we should not be doing half the things that we're doing with this. And you know, if people think that we're going to be operating on solar cars and electric cars in 25 years, really people need to think again. I believe if we're not in the horse and buggy, it's going to be still oil, oil, oil. And coal, coal, coal. It's just my thoughts.
Oh, and also, the price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rocket to all-time highs. The seasonally adjusted price for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs hit an all-time high in May, according to data from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In January 1967, when the Bureau of Labor Statistics started tracking this measure, the index for meat, poultry, fish, and eggs were 38.1. As of May, it was 234.572 this January, and it continued to climb. It says the index for the meats, poultry, and fish has risen 7.7% over the span of the last year alone. The index for this food at home increased 0.7%, its largest increase since July of 2011. July of 2011, five of its six major grocery store food group indexes increased in May. The index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs rose 1.4% in May after a 1.5% increase in April, with virtually all major components increasing and continuing to increase. That from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So right. They see this increase in price, and they say it is going to continue to increase.
Oh, you can count on it. You can count on food, the staples.
It's gone up 50% since a decade ago.
No. A couple of things, though, about this. And folks, you know about this. I mean, you've got your finger on the pulse of the truth. Obviously, Is it the cost of food? Is the sticker? Or is the price going up, or is our dollar buying less? I would contend, of course, our dollar is buying less. It's worth less, and that's by design. Remember, what's the goal here of the families, the inner circle, this inner sanctum of controllers? The goal is to implement a one world order, but in order to do that, they've got to use communism tactics, the tyrannical tactics. So to do this, of course, they've got to get rid of the middle class. They must get rid of the middle class. They must create two classes, really, the haves, the royalty, and the have-nots, the serfs, the servants. And that's exactly what they're doing. And they're doing it so blatantly. As Obama goes to play golf in Palm Springs or wherever he's at, and then on to fundraisers, and you've got Michelle Obama and family taking multi-million-dollar vacations every other week. This is in your face. Are they trying to hide this? Is there any level of decorum or statesmanship here? No. In fact, it's the opposite of statesmanship. It's ruling with an iron fist. And when the revolt of the middle class comes, when you are hungry, when the middle class disappears or falls into the lower class because your dollar, your fiat dollar, will not buy what it used to buy in terms of staples for your family, well, there will be uprisings. When your family is going hungry and your money can't buy protein, food, what do you think is going to happen? And people have a tendency to think as well. And I said this on, I think I said this with Sunday Night with Dave Hodges when I was on his program, and I believe I might have mentioned this as well on Freedom Slopes Radio this afternoon on Deacon John's program. The economy is not going to fall. It's not going to fall like somebody jumping out of the Empire State Building. You know, the fear on the way down, of course, is palpable, I'm sure, by someone falling, I would imagine. And suddenly, bang, they hit the ground, and they're dead. That's not the dollar. The dollar is someone jumping out of the Empire State Building and hitting the awning, and then hitting an awning and maybe some windowsill or the side of the building, and then bouncing back out, hitting something else that sticks out of the building. It's going to get beat up. I mean, you know, or something rolling down the hill, like a car that's rolling down the hill. It's going to be a very, very bumpy and very rough ride. So killing the dollar is a process. It's not just a bang. That's what it's going to look like, and that's what we're in. So think about that. So it's not going to be as quickly and you know, hurt just once really bad. No. It's going to hurt many times as we're heading down into this abyss. That's what's going to take. So please, if you're looking for one big event to happen, I'm not ruling it out, but I believe the plan, based on everyone I've talked to, the plan is to stretch it out because, of course, they need to take the money, the assets, the property, the lifeblood, the life's toil from people, to take everything from the people. Everything. Ruthlessly take everything. That's from you. Oh, and when they're done doing that, and then it's you. Then you become useless to them. And we up here in the Northern Hemisphere become useless. And I say that deliberately because in the end of all this, at the end of all this, I believe that what we're seeing in Syria and Ukraine and elsewhere all across the Middle East, will end up with a global thermonuclear conflict or a global conflict that will destroy much of the northern hemisphere. I know that sounds like wow, you know, science fiction stuff, but why not? I mean, where are all the people with money buying property? Where are they relocating? Where are they starting over? Where are they starting their new world order? I mean, ultimately, I'm not talking about the steps in between where Denver's continuity of government, so on and so forth. Ultimately, you know, they're going to start afresh below the equator. That's the information I have.
With that, let's take our top of the hour break and come right back with Stan Dale. This is Tuesday, June 17th, 2014, and this will be the first time we've had Stan on in a while due to our travels and issues and his medical concerns. So we'll have an hour back with Stan on the other side. Stay with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, Nature Box is a great deal. As I often say that I often talk about this, and in fact, my wife and I were just going over our current supply of Nature Box delicacies. That's how we kind of call them delicacies. They're delicacies to us. We get the big 20 box of 20 packages. We get the big box. Here's how it works, folks. Go to our website, HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the ad for Nature Box, and when you do that, you can choose your food. Well, first pick a monthly box size. You have your choice of 5 packages, 10 or 20 packages, snack bags. Then you can select what you want in each bag, in each snack bag. The different types of snacks that they have, some salty, some sweet, some spicy, you know, some good things. Or let them choose for you and then just sit back and wait for them to deliver it to you. If you have dietary issues, not a problem. There's over 100. In fact, I think closer to 150 unique foods, like dried fruits, bars. Oh, man, I can go on and on and on. Yeah, it's great stuff. Great stuff. And if you've got, I mean, there's nothing artificial about this. Non-GMO foodstuffs, absolutely. The value, if you take the, and I was in the nature aisle of our, I'm not sure what they call that, the organic aisle of the grocery store the other day, looking at the different snacks that they have. Hey, Nature Box is very competitively priced. If you compare snack to snack, it's very, very competitively priced, especially when you consider they deliver to your door. So it's in a resealable bag, so you can snack on the go and you can keep it, put it in the cupboard, and it keeps fresh. Each bag contains about 5 servings for a normal guy. For a guy like me, that's like 2. But no, seriously, each 5 servings. And it's very simple. So go to naturebox.com. Go to homelandsecurityus.com. Click on the link or naturebox.com/CFP radio. That's naturebox.com/CFP radio. And by doing so, being listeners to this program, you get 50% off your first order.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number 2 of the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2014, with our very special guest, Mr. Stan Dale. It's been a while since we've been able to have him on, but we are blessed and excited to have him back with us. Stan, how are you doing?
Oh, great. Busy as a, what do they say, as a one-legged man stomping out a forest fire. But good. dear, how are you guys doing?
Very well, Stan. Worry about you, but we knew you were busy. You're working on a number of things, but we're doing well, and it's great to have you back. It's great to have Tuesdays with Stan, the real Indiana Jones, folks. Go to standale.com. Standale.com is his website.
Yeah, when we were coming back from Montana, I had a chance to talk to Stan. We were trying to figure out if we'd be able to do a show that night, and we decided with just all the traveling and stuff, it'd be better just to take a break. But while we were talking, Stan, you shared with me some topics and things you were working on that were seemed very exciting, and I'm excited to hear about whatever you're ready to share.
Now, what topics?
Talking about the Garden of Eden. We were talking about Damascus being destroyed. You were talking about Solomon's gold.
I got loose lips sinking ships there, did I? Well, some of these things I'll hit briefly for you, but the details of it I'm leaving till I make the public announcement at the conference in Colorado Springs on the 26th, I think it is, of July. Not only was I excited then, I'm even more excited now. I have definitely, without a doubt, found the Garden of Eden. It is 102 square miles in area, and it is still intact. It is not what people thought lost or destroyed. And I can't tell you how exciting it is to get into Google Earth and Digital Deo, you know, Digital Indie Deo flies over the Garden of Eden. It is really cool, and I've been preparing a lot of support information about the area. And once people see the presentation, they will understand why it is there. In the process of finding it, I found, heaps of other solutions to problems with the young Earth versus old Earth, you know, scientific community. I'm going to be able to marry the two so they get along. There will be some mainland scientists that will probably still refuse to count as what we're going to say, but I found out what split the Earth in the time of Peleg and broke up, you know, the continents into where they are now. And in fact, just before showtime here, I was working on animation to show what happened. Again, it was a recent event. We're talking about 2345 BC, which in archaeological terms is pretty recent. The details of that will be, as I say, in the lecture. I've got animations and stills and things, maps to show people how it all came together. I was more surprised than most. Believe me, I thought I knew, you know, years ago where the Garden of Eden was and just put it away. When I started preparing the details for this lecture I'm giving, I suddenly realized that there were some big problems with the way I'd solved where Eden was at the time. And I'd never actually, you know, been able to find the area that was, you know, walled in, like the Hebrew scriptures say. Now, I did have to revisit my Hebrew translation skills and use the Chaldean, Arabic, and Hebrew lexicon, to the point that I've got pages about ready to drop out, I think, retranslating part of Genesis. It was done properly for the time, in the King James time, and it was done properly in a lot of other translations that have gone from Hebrew to English, but they took what they thought to be the preferred usage of certain verbs, you know, because some verbs can be used to mean, you know, water flows, and another one could be mean a tree grows. I mean, it's that disparate in some cases, depending whether you're using the Chaldean form and that kind of stuff. Well, anyway, they chose the safe ones to go with what the ruling authorities of the church at the time and the kingdom thought were the way to interpret those verbs. When I corrected those things and used the alternate meanings of these verbs, I was able to find the Garden of Eden, which in Hebrew is called Gan Eden, G-A-N-A-D-E-N, Gan Eden. I found the water supply. I found, you know, the home. I even found the tree of life, and that's going to be an interesting discussion when I tell you about that. Just an amazing thing. Found what they talk about is the flaming sword that guides the that guards the doorway to Eden. All of that stuff. I mean, you know, I know you were tired, Joe, when we talked to you while you were traveling, but believe me, I had adrenaline flowing that night. It was unbelievable discoveries. Just one after another fell into place. And when people see where it is, they will go, shucks, I should have thought of that. It's in none of the places, none, including myself, have ever suggested before. But it is there. And its presence will allow me to, the explanation of how it is where it is, will allow me to explain why dinosaurs could walk. And, you know, with their tremendous weight, the current archaeological viewpoint is that the dinosaurs would crush their bones from their weight. But gravity has not always been the same on this planet. Our planet used to be smaller, spin faster, and thus counteract gravity with centrifugal force. And, you know, I've been able to show that the length of the year, the length of the day on the planet has changed drastically. Put all these things together, it tells you why leather-winged, pterodactyls can fly or could fly in those days, because the gravity was not so much to overcome. Anyway, there are just a lot of these things that started to pop out of the woodwork as I was explaining how I found, you know, Eden and the Garden of Eden. There's two places, Eden and the Garden, to the east of Eden. But, wow, I've been over, gosh, probably 50,000, maybe more miles, just several miles at a time in Google Earth Pro, which allows you to go down and fly over these things, checking river flows, and you have to get right down close to the ground to see the rivers in the photographs on Google Earth, you know, imagery. So I've been hugging the ground and following this river, then that river. No, that's not the right one. Then this one. Well, that won't work because of blah, 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 blah. And you know, it was pretty easy, relatively speaking, to find three of the rivers of Eden. But the fourth one was a little more obscure because it hit where Solomon's gold mines were. And so we found those, digging around to find the fourth river. And so, yeah, I'm reasonably excited about this. I'm wondering how I can book my ticket to fly there one of these days. It's just an amazing place.
For a minute there, Stan, I thought you were kind of describing Pittsburgh Three Rivers, you know, Stadium.
Right.
In Pittsburgh,
but, right.
Of course. What a place for the Garden. Okay. One thing I wanted to ask you when you were talking about gravity and the days being different, and actually, I would understand that the years would be shorter. Does that explain, for example, the long lifespans? We're just going by a different system of measurement, or
yeah, that's part of it. They'll live a long time.
All right,
it would make a difference of about 20 to 25% reduction in their net age by our length of year. I'm just trying. I think it was around 78% of the value is what I calculated. Would be the true age. The day would be around 19 hours long, and for them going around, there would be like 450 days in a year rather than 360, which it became for a while, and then 365 later. You know, and the Earth is like 20% larger. Or sorry, was it 25% larger than it was. It's about 8,000 miles in diameter now, but in the old days it was about 6,400 miles in diameter. And that was certainly quite interesting. And, you know, I found out, you know, why we have sea fossils and salt in the Himalayan mountains, you know, tens of thousands of feet above sea level. And when people see this, they're going to go, wow, far up, man. Oh, gee, I'm trying to be cautious and not giving away the secrets until the day.
Sure.
It's going to be a formal press announcement, that kind of stuff. But, oh, gee, was it exciting. Hey, and one thing, you know, we've talked on the show about Damascus becoming a ruinous heap overnight. It was night, and then it was morning, and Damascus was no more. Part of what I was researching over there in the Middle East to find Eden was, you know, following rivers, and I was going up the Jordan to see the old riverbeds going up into the Sea of Galilee and then up over the range and back up into the mountains of southern Turkey. And I was trying to explain how a river could run uphill 3,000 feet above where it was. It's just impossible. And I was looking at what caused this rise in the land there above the Sea of Galilee, and it's in the Golan Heights. I found at least 13 large volcanoes had erupted in recent times, biblical times, enough so that it buried the land of Bashan, where Og, the king of Bashan, the giant lived, and a lot of other giants, and they were buried in these earthquakes. And so, volcanoes. And I started looking around Syria, and then researching, you know, on the internet about Syria and all those volcanoes. And I only found 13 major ones that I could see visually from Google Earth, but there were a lot more, and they were strange-looking volcanoes. They formed like perfect little cinder cones, you know, like an ice cream or like a snow cone upside down, you know, or ice cream cone upside down without the ice cream on it, of course. And I said, well, here's Damascus in Syria, and it's, well, gosh, it's 50 miles from one huge field of volcanoes, and it's 50 miles from another whole thing, the largest cinder cone volcanic eruption field in the world, and it's Damascus is up against a wall of stone near the mountains behind it. I thought, wow, suppose nobody bombs Damascus. Suppose overnight a cinder cone or volcano just takes them away. There's so many around them already that could happen overnight, and they're gone. So I thought I'd share that with you. We've got another option, because Scripture doesn't say that blogs or this country or that one destroyed or fought or wiped out Damascus. It just became, as those cinder cones look, a ruinous heap. There's just all kinds of stuff heaped out and thrown over the land when those volcanoes over there go and emit these cinders. So maybe that's what it's saying. And I'm going to spend a little more time on that in the Hebrew to see about that ruinous heap, what it really means. But it does sound like the cinder cones that we can now see. If you get on Google Earth and go over to Damascus, dive down, you'll see about 50 miles to the southeast of Damascus there on the plains, a big black area. And you zoom down close and you'll see cinder cone after cinder cone after cinder cone, which is, you know, quiet volcanoes that have blown up this black mass covering the land everywhere. It's well known in geological circles for this. And then if you go over to the southwest of their into the Golan Heights, you can see all the other volcanic cones, and boy, I mean, they got grass growing over them now, but they're huge. So give that a thought. Maybe Damascus is going to get kind of done with by God or natural forces rather than some country invading.
Very interesting. Obviously, that's a valid theory, I suppose. Naturally, we incline to think that, well, you know, because of all of the events, geopolitical events going on over there, we think the worst. But volcanic activity could take it out. Indeed.
Well, yeah. If you look at the scripture, I haven't got it in front of me, but one of them I ran across when I was looking at that was that Isaiah, one of the old prophets said, mentioned Damascus against the wall of fire. And that would indicate, like an eruption as well. In fact, there's one volcanic cone that's only 6 miles out of town. That's smaller than the rest, but it's there. So that whole area is primed for activity. And with the increase in volcanic activity across the planet and earthquakes in interesting places, you know, like in the very tip of Alaska, the northwest up there, I think the planet is starting to change. There's a lot of volcanoes going off simultaneously in the Aleutians and in other parts of the world in Indonesia. These things tend to make me think we're seeing a growth spurt in that kind of activity across the planet. Perhaps an expansion is proceeding.
Okay. Wow. And the Earth, it's my understanding, the Earth, by the way, is still growing or expanding, is it not? Which accounts for a lot of these, at least as my understanding, things like sinkholes and, well, all of the other activity that we see take place.
Yeah, I think the expansion of Earth at the moment it's due to increased pressures from the core of the planet. As the planet ages, as any planet ages, it starts to increase in diameter to a point where the core cools and there's no more stretch left, and then eventually a planet will break up and become debris and, form rings around Jupiter or Saturn type things. But at the moment, because we've still got the heat, it's functioning and still expanding. But I do think that in 2345 BC, that we had a catastrophic event happen, which caused the expansion to accelerate. And I'm preparing an animation of that to show what caused it. And believe me, it's been interesting putting all the continents that are affected by this together in a map, a digital map, and then exploding them apart so you can see them spread apart and go back to where they are now. A strange, strange project, that one, but that took me quite a few days and a lot of mumbled obscenities under my breath, let me tell you.
I can imagine. I don't want you to give, obviously, and I'm sure you won't give away any secrets to or anything that you're not prepared to give prior to your actual press release, but when the garden existed, was this, did it exist prior to the continents becoming the continents the way they are now, or was it, was it one big landmass?
It was prior to that. It was prior to that time.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
And in fact, there's a number of interesting things I will be announcing, which explains that this had to have happened within the last 6,000 years, all this. Just amazing things. My head wants to explode. I found so many things that just prove the Bible and yet tie it to, traditional physics.
Right. Right. That's fantastic. And Joe, we have to ask Stan about the conference again. Stan Pikes, you're going to be revealing this at the
Prophecy Conference in Colorado Springs.
Prophecy
in the News is putting it on. And I'm just one of 22 really good speakers. I mean, wow. The lineup of speakers is just magnificent stuff. And I'm certainly privileged to be, invited to attend that and to present. I certainly I'll be doing two lectures, one on the quest for Eden, and then the other on the title of it will be Solomon, Satan, and Seduction. And that's going to be an interesting.
All right. You give us the dates again for that Prophecy in the News.
What I'm going to do here is just go over to their website. Actually, I've got a little interview with several of us there, or about several of us, where Gary Sterman and Bob Ulrich are talking there in the studio, and they tell a bit about what each speaker, the major speaker, is going to be doing. But if you can just look on your computer at this address, it's prophecyinthenews.com, and Prophecy in the News is all run together in one word, prophecyinthenews.com. And when you get there, it'll show you that the Colorado Springs Conference, Prophecy Summit, they're calling it, at Pikes Peak, is being held the 25th to the 27th of July. Now, the major part of the lectures will be on the 25th and the 26th, which is a Friday and Saturday. Lynn Marzulli will be there lecturing. Gary Sterman will be, Bill Salas, myself, Chris Putnam, Bill Connick, and a lot of other guys. As I say, there's about 22 of us that are there lecturing. And obviously, you know, Sarah and myself and all these that that participate in this are basically pre-trib rapture believers, and that's okay. But nobody crams it down your throat. It's just that's where our stand is, and then we talk about other things, you know, like giants and aliens and this kind of stuff. But that's our common bond.
We had, in fact, Joe and I had gone to the Prophecy and News Conference in Orlando. When was it? March. It was late March, and met Gary Stearman, Bob Ulrich, and others as well. L.A. Marzulli was down there. My goodness, Bill Salas. Folks, if you can get to it, very well worth your time. All the presenters, all the information, just a fantastic grouping of people. And Stan, you'll be there, which makes me want to go.
Holly's coming with me. We're going to spend 4 or 5 days there in a hotel in the Springs and howdy and shake with a lot of folks.
I guarantee you,
we're gonna have press coverage on this. The organizers, I've already told them what I'm doing on that Garden of Eden thing, and they're already out there telling magazines and people, and wow, we've got it. I've even had a special piece of music composed, by Robert Papino, The Quest for Eden, or Eden's Quest, I think it's called, Eden's Quest.
Wow.
I was just listening to the first run of it here tonight as well, but incredible. I keep getting back to just thinking, thank the good Lord he let me find it. It's just really incredible. It just does so much for your faith, strengthen the fact that, yes, it is and was there. That's where it all started, and scientific evidence now agrees. And I'm thinking, boy, just wow, to be part of this game is incredible.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I can't wait to hear this. I'd like to get there. I'd like to really. Joe and I have not talked about it. I mean, it seems like, well, it's 2 months away, right? Or no, it's next month. We're quite
online. Yeah, and I'm still just working on lecture number one. I've still got to get all that into PowerPoint presentations, and then start on the Great Deception and the similarities between Solomon and the Antichrist, and I haven't even started putting all that together yet, so I've got to get myself moving. I've been having too much fun, I guess.
Wow. Well, what you explained about the about finding the Garden of Eden, and again, you can just say I'm not going to answer this, but the only other question I would ask that I think probably wouldn't be covered by anything confidential is it in relatively the same condition as it was?
Because the water flow is now not coming from the principal source, it is backed off. Rains supply most of what things that get there, and the dirt of the garden is dry a lot because of the lack of the rain. But there are tens of thousands of mammals living there. It's an amazing place. It's an amazing place.
And you know what, Stan? I got to tell you, people just—I'm just getting email after email. I'll ask this one last question, and then I'm not going to ask any more questions about this, okay? Because let the man do it within the press, okay? Sue asks this: if I stumbled upon this piece of land, would I realize where I was or what it was, is? In other words...
You know what? Yes, you would. In fact, the locals have wondered about it.
Oh.
But they couldn't prove it.
All right. Wow.
But I guarantee you there will be no doubt in your mind. No doubt. Once I show all this, you'll say, holy cow, how did we miss this? But anyway...
And there's going to be this mass rush to the Garden of Eden.
Well,
folks,
you know what? They've got lodges there already.
Oh.
And you can fly in, but they don't know that it's the Garden of Eden.
Oh, it's Club Med San Francisco or something, right? Or it's Club Med Mediterranean.
Let me tell you, it's in a remote area, but the prices for these things are like from $1,000 per person a night to down to $118 per night, and that's if you bring your own tent. Well, there is going to be there. Look, the Muslims, the Hindus, all the major religions, the Christians, Jews, all relate back to the Garden of Eden. It's a common thing that's not owned by one religion, one faith. And it has done so much for me to just be able to get ready to share that with people to say, okay, I know you're going to fight amongst each other, and that's the way it's got to end this time here on Earth. But look at where we came from, and we're all really brothers and sisters, It's just
fantastic.
I've just been overwhelmed with all kinds of emotions as I've looked at this.
Wow. Well, I've got to ask you this. Now Holly had to look at this. You had to share this with Holly. What are her comments and thoughts on what you found?
She's been with me every step of the way. In fact, she's been taking over a lot of my load in the garden and our garden and the orchard and household duties and business things. She's just kind of left me alone and let me work. I work about 16 hours a day at least, and a couple hours off for lunch and say hi to Holly. But she's been down here when I've made major discoveries on this, and I would say to her, and she'll tell you the hair in the back of her neck is just straight out when she says, wow, it's there. She's excited, and she says, I'm coming to that lecture. I want to hear this one.
Well, that's a teaser for everyone for Prophecy in the News conference at the end of July. Certainly get your tickets. We advocate and endorse the conference. So that's great. Fantastic. Okay. Wow. Well, we're not going to pressure any more on that, and we're going to be looking for the news conference bulletins and disclosures. This is great. This is fantastic.
There have been a lot of interesting people already visit the area for other reasons. Bill Clinton even went there with his family, and Bush did. Bush too, I think. Some movie stars, the rich and famous have passed through there, one of the great tourist attractions of the rich and famous. But, you don't have to be rich and famous now then to get there. There's a way. And I'm certainly going to be approaching a few of these people that make that possible to see if they can help package deals for, folks that want to go see. And I know I want to go see. I mean, I've flown over that sucker so many times, measured it, photographed it, digitally. New kind of Indiana Jones. It's digital Jones. You fly from your chair to your computer, and if we'd had these tools 30 years ago, I would have found it then. But now that all this has become available, I've just been very blessed to be able to fly over in three dimensions, just like being in an airplane that you're piloting, and scout all these areas out and say, okay, where, when, what. And Holly's just been there with me, and she's just been, hugely supportive and excited. It's just we've been asking questions and talking to each other about all kinds of concepts that were and still are questions in the Christian and Jewish community about the origin of things and, where Cain got his wife from and all kinds of stuff like that. I mean, just really, really cool stuff. I can't wait. I mean, an hour lecture is not enough to do this, but that's what I'm allotted at the Prophecy Conference. And, oh, man.
Wow, you're going to have to talk fast, Dan, I'm going to tell you.
They're videotaping it all, so fortunately I'm going to be putting up hard data up on the screen so that people can look at the DVD later and say, now what did he say about that? There it is. Go to that address, see this, read that. Okay. And that's the only way I can do that to not have a question time, because I just won't have time for questions.
Understood. Fantastic. What else is going on on your radar? I've got some questions from listeners.
All right. What kind of questions?
Well,
there's so much to talk about. I mean, the world is coming apart as we speak.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather, the earthquakes, I mean, the food prices, the not really Americans, or, you know, they're not even Mexicans that are flooding across the borders from Syria and other Middle Eastern countries, and we're just letting them in. I mean, all this kind of stuff is just huge news.
Yeah, in fact, we covered some of that the first hour, and I've got my own, based on the research and investigation as well as interviews I've done, my own thoughts on, for example, you know, what's going on at the southern border, why now.
Did you happen to notice all the churches that are supporting the illegal immigrants down there?
Yeah, I did
see that, the busing of illegal immigrants through churches because the Border Patrol and DHS are too filled up.
But what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are they're crazy. I mean, they're not understanding the problem. You know, these churches, I mean, the Catholic Church being the biggest offender, you know, has you know, since about 2010, really been pushing for, you know, us to allow these poor war victims to come in, you know, from Central America, South America, the drug lords from the wars there that are from the people selling drugs to the rich Americans. I mean, it's convoluted, but, you know, the church is like, Reformed Church, Evangelical Lutheran, Presbyterian. I mean, these ought to know better. They are killing us with this. They're letting this happen, and they're letting not only poor little war babies come up so their parents could come up later and invade the United States and not pay any taxes and kill us, but also known terrorist countries, you know, like Syria and stuff, they're coming across the border. I mean, how can these churches do this? I mean, it's crazy.
Well, my only guess with respect to that would be the humanitarian aspect. They're people. Hey, they're people, like, you know, they're flesh and blood. We have to help them.
This is the lifeboat syndrome, where you can only hold 10 people in a lifeboat and you've got 20 hanging on. At some point, you got to figure out that somebody better survive, even if it's not all of them hanging on. We can't take these people in. We cannot.
I agree with you, and I think that what the churches are doing, I think my view on this, it might be a little bit different than your stand and others, but what I see taking place, my biggest question is, why now? Why today? Why this year? Why this month? Why the past couple of weeks? What happened? What transpired that has allowed the doors to swing open in this heavy influx of illegal aliens over the border, and specifically the composition thereof? What has changed? And I'll ask you that question, and I'll tell you my thoughts.
Well, I think the White House has been behind this. I mean, I've seen evidence of the fact that Obama was involved in being sure this onrush of young people from Central America, South America could come into the country. But we're approaching a time here where we're fixing to go to war again with Iran, in the Middle East again with Iran. One of my friends is still in the military and intelligence, and he said, I'll tell you right now, don't worry about what's happening in Iraq, where, even though they're getting after Christians and killing them and taking over, you know, the weapons we left behind with the Iraqis, it's Iran, and within 2 years we'll have troops on the ground fighting Iran over in the Middle East. That's where we're headed. So I don't know if this is a prelude to that, to weaken the United States so we can't really be an effective force there, or what. Now, what's your opinion?
Well, I totally agree with you on that, but I think it's a little bit bigger, because I don't think this is happening. If you look at Ukraine, if you look at Syria, Iraq, and Iran, the entire structure of the Middle East, if you look at Russia being the powerhouse in over on that side of the world, we'll say.
Right.
We have been poking Russia with a sharp stick at every turn. In fact, I would even say it's my belief that the Ukraine, the gas line that went up, was probably as a result of Western intelligence interference or mischief. Now, having said that, for the longest time, we've been running guns, weapons, drugs, and human trafficking between West and North Africa and South and Central America. Think Fast and Furious combined with a little bit of modern-day Iran-Contra, mixing in human trafficking all of this, but just in a different location for different reasons. Now, having said all that, I do believe that Russia has their hand in pushing, we're arming as well as, we're arming drug cartels. We're arming numerous gangs, especially in Central America, Guatemala in particular, where a lot of these refugees are coming from. I looked at the numbers, and a lot of the refugees are coming from, or the illegal aliens are coming from Guatemala, an inordinate number of them, many of them women and children, many victims of violence or perceived violence. Now, having said that, I do believe that that this is a byproduct of Russia stirring the pot in that area, also doing what we're doing and causing a war in Central America. It's the biggest war you never heard of going on, taking place in Central America. And so now combine that with the White House opening the doors and Congress allowing this to take place, the word goes out really quick down the pipeline. Hey, come on up. We're not going to push you away. We're not going to turn you away. This is what I believe is taking place. And the reason now is the Cloward Piven strategy. We're dealing with so much right now. Let's throw this into the mix and really get the country into a tailspin. That's kind of the short answer.
Yeah, I agree. Putin and his administration are not stupid, and they know what we've been doing over in Europe and in the Middle East. So they're playing their game, like you said, in Central and South America and even in Mexico to give us a great distraction, give us our own internal problems. And with us, it is more like very serious problems inside our country as opposed to what we've been able to do to Russia with our intelligence operations, because it's been mainly in satellite countries, not in the homeland of Russia. I wonder what Putin has promised Obama to make him cooperate in this treasonous act, but he's obviously helping by passing, EOs to allow the illegals and the non-Mexicans, other than Mexican-type refugees, to come into the country. It's weakening us, and it's overloading our lifeboat. So what that does is means that we're going to have internal problems so great that we won't be able to officially get in the way of Russian participation in activities in the Middle East with Iran, against Israel and in Syria.
You said that a lot better than I did. Exactly.
So they're going to overflood. They're overflooding in part to add to the division among Americans and people in America, to the point where people will be so focused on their day-to-day survival here that we won't be able to worry about what's going on with the rest of the world.
That's right. I've always said that Russia was going to have to neutralize the United States as a military, world military power, or police force, whatever, before Russia can go in and honor commitments to Iran, Syria, and Lebanon, those areas, any of those countries down they've got treaties with, against Israel. But they have to get America out of the game. And it can either be done as an act of war, which are, provoke a nuclear war between the United States and Russia, which wouldn't be the desired method of doing it, or it can be through fifth columnists, traitors, treasonous, invaders, spies, going in and weakening the U.S. resolve at a personal level to people here to be involved in the Middle East. We don't want to do that, we'll say. We're interested in our food prices going through the roof. We're interested in how we take care of our food supply stuff when the weather is just wiping out one crop after another. We haven't got enough money to pay for this flood of immigrants coming in, and there are drug lords behind all this, and we're worried about that. And, America is just going to have to turn in on itself, pull in its horns. And, of course, we've got our military, a lot of it overseas. A lot of that will probably be pulled back to, enforce martial law because of the civil disobedience. And that way we're not bombing Russia, and Russia's not bombing us. There may be a nuke go off in some of the cities here, some small nukes, even an EMP to be sure that we don't get rowdy and head back to the Middle East to defend Israel. this is going to be what God puts out there for Israel to realize that they can't depend on the United States as their savior to help them in all this, you know, this time. Israel's already aware of this, that we've got feet of clay at the moment. And so God is emphasizing that point. Israel, turn back to me. He's saying, you know, don't depend on yourself and those allies, you know, the United States. It is me you need to count on. I'm the one that's going to defend you at Battle of Armageddon and, you know, provide for you after that. And this is the beginning of the softening of the stiff neck of the Israelis.
Wow. And it all fits together. As we look at it, people have tunnel vision or a tendency to look at events like the invasion of the illegals in the southern border and Ukraine and Syria and Iraq as disparate events or as separate events. And I believe that they're closely tied. I think that this is a what we're seeing here is a process, not just a number of events, but independent of one another, but a process that, you know, this happens, and then as a result that happens, it's kind of action-reaction sort of thing. It's
a big chess game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. And of course, the ultimate goal, I believe, Stan, is a class here to create that level of royalty, and then, of course, serves, and ultimately, in the end, when we become, the non-royalty becomes useless, then what? Then it's over for us.
Well, you know, I still think that Rick Coombs' work on the America Being Babylon and others that will be at the lecture, Rick, of course, has passed on now, but that America does fit the bill for a modern Babylon, you know, like the horror Babylon sat on that beast and lorded it over the nations of the world. You could stand back and look at America as being the world's police force and, you know, to get the power it had, of course, you know, deceiving nations, making promises and whatever, and lording it over all these other countries with the U.S. dollar and the military and contracts and whatever. But you can see why Babylon needs to be destroyed. And I think we fill the bill for that.
Well, have you given any thought to Iraq being like Babylon, the Babylon, Iraq being Babylon, we'll say, and the United States being Babylon, the mystery of Babylon or whatever you want to say?
There are two Babylons that are mentioned in prophecy, and one is a ancient one, one is a modern one, is a city, one's a financial system. Iraq, I don't think it would be built up to where people think, unless we've got another 20 years to allow that to be built up and for peace to reign in the Middle East and for the rich and famous to be feeling safe to go to Babylon in Iraq when it's such a Muslim-type area.
Okay. Yeah, I guess my point was this, how quickly we see Iraq, or if I would refer to it as Babylon, we'll say, just erroneously or not, but equate Iraq with Babylon, how quickly that is falling. And I see that happening here in the United States. What's happening in Iraq, I see happen, regardless of the name, doesn't matter. I see the United States falling from within because of spies that have been input here, because of the people that have been compromised in the various government agencies. As we see what's going on in Iraq, the cities falling one by one, and so quickly. That's been planned over a number of years. So too has it been here in the United States. That's kind of what I was getting at.
I mean, even in Syria, you know, in Damascus and various areas here, there are tug-of-wars going on between factions financed by probably the same banks financing both sides to move it toward the direction they want it to go. This has been a tactic that has been used since the Russian Revolution against the Tsar. moneyed interest will finance the revolutionary number one, revolutionary number two, and the established government. But if they, no matter who wins, they'll have people in leadership of the party that wins or the group that wins. And that way they can progress their agenda at the speed they want to. Yeah. America is just, we're just doomed.
Such bad shape.
Yeah. I mean, the weather is just not, look at those twin tornadoes. I mean, those were super meso tornadoes. And, you know, more of this is going to be happening. England's facing a drought now, then after huge floods. The weather, the climate is changing. And ask me why that's happening. I mean, is it, we haven't had more sunspots, but we've had a few more, you know, X-class flares. But things are changing rapidly in our, you know, global climate, which are not in our best interest. We're going to have famines shortly.
Yeah, and you talked about the drought. How has the drought been in your area and west of you? I have not heard a lot about that lately.
Well, the drought has not been too bad for us. Actually, we've had some snow and some rains. Believe it or not, we had snow here a month, 6 weeks ago, something like that, and certainly rain. I haven't counted up, but one day we had nearly three-quarters of an inch of rain here. And for us here in the high desert, that's a godsend. And the weather wasn't exactly right here, as it often isn't in Colorado, for our fruit trees. We only got fruit on one cherry tree, two plum trees, and one apple tree. But all of our garden stuff, you know, the peas and beans and carrots and onions and lettuce and tomatoes and peppers and all, you know, and squash and watermelons, all that's growing, you know, like it was in a greenhouse. And so we're doing okay here in this area, but other areas are getting exceptionally more rain, just probably 20 miles from us in toward the mountain base. You know, I'm not going to complain. I think we're going to be facing fires here like in New Mexico and Arizona. It's just going to take a couple of weeks more, maybe a month more before it's bad here. And they're already warning us it's going to be a dry, you know, fire season here, dangerous. The smoke from the fires down where they're evacuating the some of the Navajo in northern New Mexico, the fire smoke is... We can see it in the evenings and smell it as it comes blowing up here across the eastern side of the Rockies. So it kind of reminds you that we're not entirely exempt from what's happening around us. I don't know. I mean, it's an El Nino year, and El Nino years typically for our area are better for rainfall. And if it follows similar patterns in the past, we will be entering in now into about a 5 or 6 year period of increased rain here in the desert. All kinds of things are blooming out there, cacti and, just beautiful little orange flowers and blue ones and stuff like that. I forget the names of them. They're just wildflowers. But so, yeah, for us, I mean, we're having high winds. We were having 40-mile-an-hour gusts here the other day that was blowing stuff off the deck, but we live in an area in Pueblo West here which is known for its wind. So when they say, you know, our area is going to get a little windy, we run out and prepare for a hurricane. But, yeah, that's us. We're going to come out better than a lot of the rest of the United States in this El Nino season. But understand that even though we're getting better off than others in the country, we have had many, many years of drought here, probably 10 to 15 years, which has been hard.
Absolutely, I can imagine. One thing we haven't really touched on too much lately, the sun. You know, we're in the max solar year or solar flare years, and are you still surprised? Or what's going on with the sun, if anything, that has your attention?
Well, it's gone to the back burner because obviously we don't have the sunspot numbers. This solar maximum they finally declared is, you know, pretty weak as far as sunspot counts, which, you know, usually attends activity of flares. I don't have any more information on what could be causing increased heating of the planet. It's not due to global warming from cow gas, but there's something happening that is causing our weather to really go askew. Now, it might well be weather warfare that the Russians are using on us. They do have the technology to do it. We have the technology to do it back to them, but if our government is shutting down HAARP as it has, which is one of our weather machines, it's just saying, okay, we're not going to play anymore. You guys can attack us with weather. And I'm thinking maybe the bad weather is more due to weather warfare at this point than to solar problems. But I'm keeping an open mind. I do check on it every couple of days to see what's happening. And nothing stands out other than that.
Gotcha.
Okay, and one other question from a listener. Anything on Yellowstone lately that has been getting your attention?
No, I keep a look on that. There's been little flurries in the last month, but I haven't seen anything that stood out here recently. The earthquake, 4.2 or so in Oklahoma City the other day, a couple days ago, was interesting, mainly because the people in the area aren't used to it. But it is a puzzle. And up in Alaska, the earthquakes up there, and the very tip of it, just above the Aleutian, well, across from Siberia, but in Alaska, up in that area there, it has seismologists puzzled why we're getting a flurry, you know, a swarm of earthquakes up there. They're not huge, but they're significant. And the best I can see tying that with the volcanic activity all along the Aleutians at the same time is that the Earth is starting to move, and the coastlines on the west side of the country are going to experience more volcanoes and serious earthquakes. And Alaska, up in that area, is not on a known fault line, but it is at the edge of the mountain range. It goes all the way down through into Cascadia and down into Mexico, which is the edge of our tectonic plate. Now, to see new stuff, new ground breaking up there tells me that new activities are happening in the plate tectonics. We watch, but boy, I tell you what, people, I hope you're prepared because you're not going to be able to afford to eat anymore with the protein prices and the vegetable prices going up. Talking about that, you see where the Gates Foundation, you know, Bill Gates Foundation has been supporting, you know, GM crops and everything, and down in Australia at Queensland University, they're releasing this new kind of banana that's been genetically modified to give you more vitamin A in your diet, a little oranger on the meat than a normal white banana. But, you know, you got to wonder if you eat these new GMO foods made by humans that are just now discovering how to work with, you know, gene splicing and things that were created long before, you know, we knew what was going on. I mean, man was created, right? And here we are playing around trying to discover it. And you got to wonder if they're doing things like using genes out of a firefly to make your banana, you know, give you more vitamin A. And oh, by the way, if you shout at night, your face will glow. I mean, you know, I don't know. I just don't think they do enough field testing on this stuff to really trust the GMO foods. But what can you do? They're out there on the shelf already.
Yeah, and speaking to what you said about the prices, we talked about in the first hour how the price index for meats, poultry, fish, and eggs have all rocketed to new levels. Gas prices have soared to six-year highs. And many other predictions from analysis is that they're going to continue to increase and that we've only seen the beginning of an uprising in prices right now. So.
Yeah, Holly's got that covered. Actually, she did news for me today. She broke her fast for one day of not doing news anyway, because we've just got too many other things on her plate at the moment. She's been doing a lot of work getting me ready for the conference with, you know, clothing and this and that and organizing, you know, where the dogs will stay, and been busy. But anyway, she did get in there and do news today, so you can go to our website at standout.com and read a lot about that, what you're talking about there. Did you also see that Obama plans to create an even larger ocean reserve around Wake Island, you know, and Hawaii and various other places, Marianas Trench? He's got several groups of it. Bush started it, but, I mean, these are areas where our fishermen, American fishermen, go to, you know, to get food for us. And the Washington Post said that, Obama wanted to expand it from its current 87,000 square miles of reserved area where you can't fish to over 750,000 square miles. And, you know, there are seven islands covered in it and the fishing zones around it. So he's now wanting to impact our fishing industry. Which, you know, I mean, goodness gracious, don't you just want to... Mm.
Well, isn't that part of the UN biodiversity project, or is this something different?
Call it whatever you will. He's going along
with it. Well, that's true. Yeah.
I mean, it's just an encroachment. Americans are the new dinosaurs very shortly. We're going to be extinct.
What can we do, Stan? Is there anything we can do? I mean, aside from hitting our knees every night and praying and informing, is there something proactive that we can do?
Well, people, you know, we've been telling you to try to endure some of the hardships as best you can. I mean, putting away, you know, freeze-dried type food and stuff, and all that kind of stuff that Holly talks about in the Dare to Prepare book. And also, in the she discussed this in the Prudent Places book as well, maybe getting out of areas that are going to be not too wise when civil disobedience, you know, civil war starts, when people start killing each other for food in the cities. It means getting into smaller population densities and in areas where you can still work and have access to people that think like yourself. I mean, these are things that she's discussed in the books and also we've discussed on air many times. We're just about to start eating our you know, our freeze-dried protein now than that we put away years ago because it's getting too expensive to buy the meat at the store.
That's so right.
That's proactive. I'm doing it now.
Mm. So, well, I received an email from someone now, and just with your permission here, I'll read it to you. Mm-hmm. This is from Christy. She writes, please tell Stan to tell Holly thank you for her book, Garden Gold. I've got a tremendous garden of raised beds this year with that super soil that she talks about in the book. She writes that people really need to start storing some extra food and water with all the natural disasters that are occurring around the country. Go to your local farmer's market, buy local if you can grow a garden. And so if you can't grow a garden, that is, find a practical skill that you can do. And do well in case you are relied upon in the future. But she writes, thanks so much, Stan and Holly. God bless you guys, Christy. So I want to get that out there. Yeah, you know, Garden Gold is a tremendous asset for people who want to be self-sufficient in the food area. And I think that's so important.
Right now. We are selling it pretty regularly now. I mean, without even having our, you know, news updates or any of that kind of stuff, I've been surprised. But that woman is right. I mean, supporting your local market gardeners is the way to go. I mean, we've got several farms out around here, miso farms, and outside of Pueblo, and we go out there, you know, get crops. They grow them out there in fields right next to the houses and stuff, and we grow our own stuff, and I tell you what, eating tomatoes that are grown on ripened on the vine, it's just like a slice of heaven to take a bite of a tomato like that. I love it when we get into tomato season here. Our indoor tomatoes that we grew this last winter were sparse, but we did manage to ration them through the winter. But now then we've got full bushes out there, and they're just nothing quite like going out there in your garden and pulling off a tomato that has taste. You know, until you've tasted a real tomato, I guess, you think these cellophane red-colored things that they call tomatoes at the store are what a tomato tastes like. But they're harvested green and then gassed to make them look ripe and stuff. But now people, look, even if we don't have the dramas which we're telling you about, which we do, I mean, the prices are going up already. Growing your own stuff gives you a chance to be able to grow your own food when you just can't afford it. And, you know, people on fixed incomes and retirement incomes probably ought to be looking at this, because I know we're feeling it, and only one of us is on Social Security, and the odd sale we get here and there of books and things is what we're living on. So we're getting very frugal with what we grow and, you know, what we can buy. So that's why Holly's books are a help to people, just like us.
Well, Stan, I mean, we're all in the same boat. I got to tell you, it's tough. You know, the steak, who can afford a steak? Who can afford even chicken right now? It's ridiculous.
I know. So, fish, I mean, everything. Yeah. I mean, we think it's a really good buy when we can find, you know, we watch the sales at, not at Walmart, but at, the people that own Walmart, you know, the big superstores. I've got
Sam's Club.
Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
We go to that. Holly does that. You know, I'm still working and sleeping at that time, but she goes in early and looks for the sales there, so that we can, you know, buy frozen food, you know, like fish and stuff on a buy. And,
right.
You know, it's good. We still got stuff that we've put in the freezer from last year. And plus all the dehydrates.
Right.
She did point out that your dehydrated or freeze-dried meats and things, you'll probably have them in, like, you know, stews as chunks and things like that with rice. They're not going to be like eating steak. But, hey, you know, when you're hungry, protein is protein.
That's right. Exactly right. Well, Stan, thank you so much for spending your time. You know, it's been too long. It's kind of we were having Stan Day withdrawal for tonight. But the news that you imparted is very exciting. We can't wait for your revelation at the Prophecy and the News conference in
Pittsburgh. Tell you what, I'm waiting to I'm having to bite my tongue. I'm going to run out in the street and yell, "Hey, everybody, look what we found!"
Yeah. And folks, let me tell you, Stan has not told us. We don't know anything, and that's honest, you know. So we're in the dark.
Four people know, including me, and that's because they had to as part of the project. But
okay. And we're not any of the four people, so no emails, please. We don't know. But so, yeah, this is going to be exciting. In fact, we should go just for that. So they're going to have to give you a bigger room, probably.
Well, you know, actually, they've done something where they are licensing out like live TV streaming feeds to people, to groups of people to watch it together. And I don't know the exact how it works and everything, but if you contact them, they might be able to, you know, sell you a live link to watch the lectures. At home or in groups of people.
Yeah, kind of like the pay-per-view fights and bars and such that they've got.
I guess. I don't know about that. Yeah. But I forget what they call it, but live streaming video. I think they've already got 1,000 people coming physically already. They were saying to people to hurry up and book their tickets if they're coming, because they're running out of space. I think we can only fit 1,100 in that main auditorium, but to get around that, obviously they're filming high-grade digital filming of it, plus live streaming. And again, I don't know how that works. I do apologize, but I'm sure that Bob Ulrich, or, you know, Gary Sturman, they tell you how to do that for your group. I tell you what, it's important for church groups to hear what I got to say about this. I mean, it's just it is so uplifting, so exciting. You know, it's not a myth. It is real. It is there. And that's what's going to be such a strong witness tool, I think, anyway.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Stan, thank you so much. We've gone over your we always do this. We always try to, like, suck more minutes out of you than
yeah, I felt it to blow out the right arm there.
Yeah. Well, as long as it's not the left, and, you know. But, no. Yeah, yeah. But I just want to say thank you so much for being part of our Tuesday nights and sharing the year findings. It's pretty doggone exciting, I'll say. So we will wait and
next week.
Absolutely, my friend. Well, God bless. Until Holly,
thanks,
we said hello.
I will. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, but yeah, I'll tell her. Bye bye now.
God bless, Stan. Take care. That was Stan Dale every Tuesday night, second hour, 9 to 10 Eastern time on the Hagman & Hagman Report. It's the first time in about a month we've been able to get together, and it was great. We missed Stan, and fantastic information what he shared with us. I hope anybody who's going to the Colorado Springs Prophecy and the News Conference goes and sees Stan with his Garden of Eden presentation. Looks like it will be fantastic and so informative. We might have to either go or at least pick up the live streaming so we can see it. We'll be right back after these short messages, taking your phone calls in the next hour at 661-244-9839. That's 661-244-9839. Now here is News in 2 Minutes, brought to you by Full Spectrum Survival.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of News in 2 Minutes, bringing you the news that you need to know every day. Let's begin. Analysts warn that authorities behind closed-door meetings are continuing a push for Western-led intervention within the nation of Syria following the explosive growth and seemingly uncontrolled outmaneuvering of the Islamic extremist group ISIS. Researchers are warning that as the group continues to grow and advance within Iraq, governments opposing the Syrian administration will seek to use the crisis as a means for Syrian...
Wow.
I watched the whole thing upload, too. Maybe I'm going to do this. I'll send it to Troy.
All right.
And ask him to play it, because it is important. I apologize, folks.
Out of all of the particular News in 2 Minutes, I mean, they're all important, but this one, indeed, is extremely important. See if we can get this worked out real quick here. In the meantime, folks, let me draw your attention to our sponsors, of course, American Survival Wholesale. Folks, go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Check out their new items. Under their new items, and I'm really, really excited about this because those people who know what's going on have actually put this together. You heard Stan talk about protein and about chicken, fish, beef going up in price, of course. To record highs. It's on Drudge. It's in the news. A new product called Trading Post. It's, if you go to new products at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, look at the top row, the third one over. It's called Trading Post. Think of food as money, protein for trading, bartering, or part of your preps. Folks, this is a fantastic deal. In a military-grade type canvas bag, you'll find 19 servings of Ready Project 20-year shelf life chicken, turkey, 19 servings of sausage, 216 servings of 25-year shelf life whole egg powder. This is all protein. In total, 273 servings. Less than 59, well, about 59 cents per serving, per individual serving. Yeah, once again, in a durable canvas pack. Now, with that, silver. Think about being able to trade this for silver. You have to start thinking of food as something that you can barter. Consider at the current price of silver right now, about, I'm going to say, 1964, roughly, per ounce. This pack would trade for about 8 ounces of silver. Even if silver was trading at maybe, well, $200 per ounce, this pack would still trade for the same 8 ounces. So what people are trying to tell you, people in the know, people who know what's going on, think of food It's not just for your storage pantry trade barter as well. It's for the trading post. Full of protein. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Put together by people in the know.
All right, Troy, you can go ahead and play Full Spectrum Survival News in 2 minutes. Thank you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of News in 2 Minutes, bringing you the news that you need to know every day. Let's begin. Analysts warn that authorities behind closed-door meetings are continuing a push for Western-led intervention within the nation of Syria following the explosive growth and seemingly uncontrolled outmaneuvering of the Islamic extremist group ISIS. Researchers are warning that as the group continues to grow and advance within Iraq, governments opposing the Syrian administration will seek to use the crisis as a means for Syrian intervention. In related news, as civil war continues to rage on within the nation of Syria, reports from citizens within the country as well as human rights organizations show that Western-backed Syrian opposition, which many have linked with direct coordination to ISIS and other Islamic extremist organizations, have begun targeting administration-controlled water supply sources within government-held regions in an unending effort to cause mass disruption and orchestrate the violent upheaval of the current ruling government. Reports show that governments around the world are beginning to consider and harden their defenses against infrastructural terrorism in light of a recent change to analytic motivation, with research data proving that both the food, water, and sanitation sectors of nearly every major country in the world have become increasingly susceptible to acts that could infect or sicken millions of residents at a time. Infectious disease researchers are warning that reports show West African countries considering the complete cessation of border crossing as well as mandatory isolation and quarantine measures with potentially infected patients, as the number of deaths resulting from the Ebola virus continues to rise throughout multiple nations, with officials warning that little to no immunity exists to the disease, making it a potentially catastrophic virus to all nations within its reach. In other viral news, an unknown virus has been reported in Sudan with symptoms that closely match the result of a cytokine storm, leading officials in the area to call for the institution of infection control measures even as authorities in the region deny that an illness exists. Data that we've seen shows that security forces in China are increasing pressure on anti-government supporters within the nation, with reports showing that Chinese officials have authorized and carried out the execution of a growing number of citizens that have been labeled anti-government separatists and terrorists, as the military continues its year-long fight against anti-government sentiment throughout the nation. And to wrap things up, economists are warning of a worsening economic slowdown across North America following a declining growth forecast for the U.S. Authorities are warning that Ukraine may see an increase in anti-government violence following a Russian-led decision to halt gas supplies, and a 5.7 in both Alaska and Ecuador, followed by a 5.5 in Colombia, completes an uptick in today's Quake Watch. And that's it for this episode of News in 2 Minutes. Check back tomorrow for more news that the aware need the most. This week's News in 2 Minutes is brought to you by Silver-Investor.com, home of the mortgage.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies, and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our third and final hour of the Hagman & Hagman Report on this Tuesday, June 17th, 2014. We're going to be taking your phone calls this hour. I wanted to open up with a story I found from the Los Angeles Times. Obama to sign an executive order curbing discrimination against gays. President Obama plans to sign an executive order forbidding companies that do business with the federal government from discriminating against employees on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, fulfilling a goal that gay right organizations have sought for years. Currently, no federal law bans discrimination against gay transgender individuals. 21 states, including California and Illinois, the District of Columbia, bar discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation, but the remaining 29 states' employees are free to fire, demote, or otherwise discriminate against workers solely on the basis of sexual orientation. So here we go, executive order.
And there's a lot of talk about executive orders with respect to gun control. I don't want to start a stampede, but, folks, when I had, and I spent 28 years actually as an investigator in the private sector for Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies. Well, I'll tell you this. I was approached by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to do their fraud work in certain areas, and I said, okay, fine, you know, we'll take a look at what you've got, but here's this is 15, well, maybe even 20 years ago now. Here was the deal with that, and I finally said, no, I'm not going to do this, because even back then, and we're talking now the Clinton administration, even back then, you had to fill out numerous papers, and they had to, not only did they say, this is how much we will pay you for your services, and of course you had to have the proper insurances, which I did and all that. However, there was a page that wanted to know the composition of any people that were working with you. For example, if you had 10 people working under or in your company, they wanted to know the sex. They wanted to know the race. Questions that really had nothing to do with the job at hand. And it was for the purposes of alleged purposes of equality. Now, what Obama is doing, the renegade in chief is doing, is going to be weeding out companies that, for example, are not hiring or putting in the homosexual people. I mean, I wouldn't even ask that question. I wouldn't even ask that question. What's your sexual orientation? Think about this. Think about these little things that people tend to minimize that have a great effect on business. It's just incredible. And believe me, if your company, if you've got 40 employees or 20 employees, if the composition of your roster is not where it should be, don't count on getting any government contracts. Don't count on getting any government business. In fact, don't even count on being able to do business. So that's something that and before we take calls, I want to get into this real quick here. I had mentioned earlier how things are connected, that being my big question, and I'm finishing a report on this, a column on this, and I think it's pretty detailed. Let me throw out a question to the people in the interactive chat feature on the computer. Now, by the way, there is an interactive chat feature on our phone application. And Kevin, I did finally download that on the phone. Okay. So, thank you. Dr. Kevin.
And that chat feature is separate from the chat, interactive chat that's live on our show.
Right, exactly. So, but on the chat feature on the show, folks, let me ask this question. AQIM, the terror group AQIM, how many terrorists do you think comprise AQIM? I'm going to search. I'm going to look over here on the chat room, which I don't do normally. And let me see if, am I even connected? Okay, yeah, I am. Okay. All right, folks, give me a number. Okay, Katie, 100,000. Uncontrolled opposition, 500. Okay, throw me one more number, somebody. About 300. Maybe Adam writes about 50,000. The question was about how many terrorists comprise the terrorist group AQIM, Al Qaeda, and the answer is about 300. AQIM, according to the research I've done, in fact, W, who's going to be on the show tomorrow night, the Intelligence Insider. Tremendous knowledge about the various terrorist organizations. The AQIM is heavily involved in narco trafficking, which makes them one of the richest terrorist organizations in the world. Now, having said that, if you take a look at what's going on in our southern borders right now, the number of illegal aliens coming, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, from last October to the end of May, excuse me, there were 162,000 people from countries other than Mexico. They've entered the United States across the southern border. That's double from the previous year. Three quarters of those crossed in the Rio Grande Valley. Among them were nearly 50,000 unaccompanied children sent by family in Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, or Nicaragua to join their relatives here in the United States. Now, think about this for a moment, because this is not covered on the evening news. You're not going to hear this on any of the channels. What's going on here? Well, you've got a couple of things. You've got Obama saying, okay, we're not going to send them back. We are going to process them and get them to their relatives. The word is out. You've got Russia, through proxy or by proxy, and the United States, directly via the CIA, arming opposing narco groups in the countries I mentioned, creating a hot war zone in Guatemala, in Central America. Okay, now so think about this. just imagine if your city all of a sudden turned into a war zone. One side, the United States, arming one set of gangs, the other side being armed and riled up by Russia. What did we do in Ukraine, along with the IMF? But what did the United States do, the Western intelligence agencies do in Ukraine? We essentially started a war, didn't we, Ed, on the border of Russia. What do you think Russia's response was? Well, you want to do this on our border? Guess what we're going to do? We're going to make things really uncomfortable for you, and we're going to create this influx of illegal aliens because if they don't get out of the line of fire, they're going to die. Then you have Obama opening up his arms and saying, "Well, there's a humanitarian crisis, so we've got to bring them. We've got to open up our doors." With the collusion of the Central American countries and Mexico, this is all tied together, and this is theater at its finest. Because
no coincidence, you have Mexican officials and different Latin American officials saying it is not illegal to enter the United States to go and live there. They promote the food stamp programs, the health care on TV down in Mexico and in different Latin American countries in America, saying, come and get some of this, you know, free government assistance if you're in need. And
exactly.
It's not to hate or to cause division. That's what they do.
Exactly. And, of course, Cloward and Piven and Francis Fox Piven and Cloward back in the 60s had gamed this all out, where they said the best way to really create a nation of dependence is to overload the system, and this is exactly what we're seeing now, but really on an international level. So the Cloward, and if there's any homework to do, I would urge everyone to research, and I know that 90% of the vast majority of our audience is familiar with the Cloward-Piven strategy and what they advocated back in the 60s when they were professors, but really study that and understand how what's interconnected here, because this is all interconnected. Nothing is happening in a vacuum, and Obama is, in fact, working overtime. Yeah, I was asked today on the radio program that I was on, if the globalists have complete control over Obama. And my answer to that was, well, I was walking my dog the other morning, very early in the morning, and of course everyone knows I've got a beast. You know, he's a 136-pound German Shepherd. And I had him on a leash. Of course, he's getting old and not as fast as he used to be, and certainly not as rambunctious as he used to be. And as I was walking him, I walked into this fenced area, which is a kind of a baseball field thing. And it just, I kind of thought about this. I thought about Obama, not to disparage my dog. If Obama was my dog, he's on a leash. And if I took off the leash, he's still within that confined area. So I look at Obama being a dog that's off the leash, but still confined by this fencing put up, erected by the controlling families. That's the way I look at it anyway. Able to be his own man only to the end of the fence. He's off his leash, and he's able to be his own man only to the end of the fence. But what's happening here? I think that there's a nefarious element as well, folks. And I'll speak about this carefully, but I want everyone to consider this when we're talking about this. I believe that Obama is close to running out his usefulness. Have you noticed that the scandals, they're not scandals, they're crimes, have not stuck? Lois Lerner can say, hey, lost the emails, things happen. The VA scandal, cr- crime. These are crimes. These aren't scandals. You can name a half a dozen different incidents, issues. But I do believe that as we progress, America, and in particular Obama, will be like a pariah. And I do believe that Obama is nearing that period of time, transforming from an asset to a liability. And you know how these people take care of liabilities. Keep that in mind. That's my observation. I could be totally 100% wrong. And certainly we don't wish any ill will on anyone. I believe that Obama should be tried in the court of law. That's not going to happen, of course. Impeachment is really a toothless process. I doubt that would happen. Nixon got impeached for his dealings in a third-rate burglary and the erasure of 18 and a half minutes and on a cassette tape, and we lose, 180,000 plus 185,000, we'll say, emails. Or however many. I don't know how many. I just made that number up based on 18 and a half. But the fact of the matter is, look at the lawless nature of Obama, the renegade in chief. And I'd like that, if possible, I'd like that moniker, that nickname to stick, because I do know that does bother people, renegade in chief. It bothers the people in the progressive side. It also bothers the people in the media and the globalists as well, renegade in chief. That being renegade being his not-so-secret Secret Service code name, renegade. So just what I wanted to – I just want to poke at the bear a little bit.
All right. Well, with that, let's go to some phone calls. We'll go to area code 407 first. 407, thanks for holding. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Florida.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Al from Orlando.
Orlando.
Great to hear you again, Al.
Yeah,
it's been a long time. Been real busy with things over here, but, you know, life's been good. Got a couple things, really. First thing, I guess, is I'm just about at my, I guess, year anniversary listening to you guys. So, you know, just want to go ahead and give you guys a shout out. You know, love everything that you guys do, obviously. So,
thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear that you stuck with us for a year, and many people have stuck with us that long and longer. Really appreciate that. God bless you for doing so. What's bugging you tonight? Anything?
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's lying. I mean, obviously. So, you know, that's really all I got to say about that. I mean, we know everybody's lying about everything that that comes out. So, you know, there's nothing really to say about that, anything about that, but that.
And the sun sets in the west too. The sun still sets in the west. It's like, why do we accept that? Now, why do people accept the lies, knowing their lies?
Most of the time, you know, the way I answer that question to other people, or the way I tell other people is, you know, people are just too busy. You know, they're just too busy working, you know, paying attention to the kids, doing this, doing that, you know, just trying to do life, too busy to call their senator, you know, too busy to, you know, put in some work, you know, to get things right. You know, it's kind of hard for somebody like me, you know, to just drop everything and say, you know what, let's just go to Washington, D.C. But, you know, it's not going to be okay for anybody to do that until everything falls apart. Then everyone's going to want to get up and go.
Mm-hmm. And that's when you're not going to be able to go. That's when they're going to have travel restrictions and martial law, if you will. And,
exactly.
Boy, you can't travel, yeah. And of course,
exactly.
They know that you're coming for them.
Yeah, it's not going to be born identity, like, born identity on all the street corners and all that kind of stuff. So.
yes, indeed.
Yeah, so one thing I wanted to say. I was watching, just flipping through the channels the other night. I barely ever watch TV, Me and the wife were just watching TV, flipping through, and, you know, we stopped on TMZ for a couple minutes just to see. And one of the stories that came up, which is kind of funny and kind of weird, I remember you guys talking about the plane that went over across the United States, you know, with the nuclear bombs on it. You know, I was trying to figure out what year was that when that happened?
I believe that was 2012.
Yeah, okay. That was really recent. But they had a story about, I guess, something that happened maybe like 30 or 40 years ago where a plane was going over and it had nuclear bombs on it. And I guess some bombs had fell to the ground in North Carolina, but they didn't explode. So they said there were some documents that had recently just got, you know, declassified or whatever. But as soon as somebody said anything about it or brought up the story, somebody else made a joke and said, oh, that means there would be no Michael Jordan, you know, and then they just went off into something else. So then, you know, I started thinking about it. I just thought that was kind of weird and wondering if you guys have ever talked about that or have you guys ever heard about that?
Well, not with a Michael Jordan angle, certainly, but, you know, that did take
place
obviously. Off the coast of, we did lose an atomic warhead off the coast of the Carolinas. I guess it was about 40 years ago. And, in fact, I might be mistaken, but I think they finally got it or recovered it or maybe not. I secured it in some fashion. But it was quite some time ago.
Yeah, and they put some pictures out or whatever. And I just thought it was kind of just weird on a place like TMZ for them to just kind of flash a quick story in there like that. Which, you know, I don't know if it means anything or anything, but, you know, just kind of random to just be placed in there talking about bombs dropping, North Carolina, all that kind of stuff. You know, I just thought it was just kind of weird. But
And that was on TMZ? I mean, of all stations. Wow.
Yeah, it was just kind of random. It was like 15 seconds. And then, you know, as soon as he said, you know, oh, there was some, you know, recently some declassified documents talking about how there were some bombs that dropped, you know, in North Carolina on accident, but they never exploded. You know, they were really poorly made. They showed pictures of it, and then they cut to some dude, and he was like, oh, man, that means there would never have been no Michael Jordan. And then they just started talking about that the whole time. So, you know, it was just kind of like a quick 15-second thing they just kind of threw in there. I thought it was kind of weird.
Yeah. Definitely odd, and I think we're being subjected a lot of times to predictive programming, to neuro-linguistic programming. So we have to keep our eyes, even though you don't like to watch network TV. It's always good to kind of get an idea of what's going on. Good catch.
Yeah, and then all the shootings that have been going on recently, you know, all over the place. You know, I just think we're America's, you know, under attack. You know, we're under attack, and they're pushing hard, you know. They're pushing hard, you know, with all these shootings. You know what I mean? You know, you don't know. Well, are these people being, you know, are these people being manipulated by them? You know, like, you know, MK Ultra and all that kind of stuff, or you know, like demons, you know, and stuff like that. You know, the Dark Rising and all that kind of stuff. You know, is it that kind of stuff? False flag kind of stuff? But, you know, all of it happening all at once, you know, every week, it seems like.
I think it's all,
you know,
all
people,
of the above.
I mean, people get shot all the time. You know, people die every day. But the ones that they're magnifying, those are the ones that, for some reason, are just so, you know, just out there, it seems like. So.
Yeah, indeed. Well, God bless you, man. I appreciate the call. We appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Stay safe down there in Orlando. And
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and thanks
no
for,
problem.
Thanks
it was
for
good talking
the last
to you
year
guys.
With us.
Yeah, no problem, man. I did want to say one more thing. I know that everybody's been looking for, I think every believer out there has just been looking for, you know, just like a little bit more, you know, and the Bible talks about how, you know, we're not persuasive with words. We're supposed to be, the kingdom of God is not in words, but, you know, in power, you know. So I've been, you know, watching a lot of different YouTube videos on, you know, street healings and stuff like that, where people go out and they teach you, you know, as a Christian, you know, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power that comes and lives in you when you become a believer. And, you know, I see things on these YouTube videos where people are just regular people and they're showing other people how to do it, people that just become believers 5 minutes before, and then they go and teach them how to, you know, heal people, broken legs, broken collarbones. I mean, you imagine going up to someone, healing their broken leg, and then saying, you know, Jesus did that for you. You know, I think that we're in the time where God is pouring out that new wine. You know, I think he is pouring out his Holy Spirit on all of us right now. So I would just encourage anybody to, you know, just look up that kind of stuff. There's a guy, his name is Pete Cabrera Jr. on YouTube. You know, they're 100% all about Jesus. And, you know, I just think it's very interesting. I've tried it a couple times. You know, I've been stepping out on faith and, you know, little pains here and there. I've actually tried to heal for, you know, pray for people. And honestly, a couple of times it's actually worked where they just don't feel any more pain, you know, where they were at a 5 or a 6 before and I prayed for them one time and it's gone. You know, so I just think that that's something that will help us as a tool right now, because at this point, I think it's all about getting more souls at this point. So that's that's all I wanted to say.
That's awesome, Al. And thank you so much for sharing that. I have not heard of that. And I'm going to check that out on YouTube as soon as I get some free time.
Yeah, please do, man. I knew that you would be interested, and I really want you to look into it. His name is Pete Cabrera Jr. You know, there's another guy who's from The Last Reformation, and they're both on YouTube, and they teach you how to heal people and how to get the right mindset to be able to do it. And it's just been a life-altering thing for me, and I wanted to share it with you guys and all the listeners.
Well, thank you so much, Alan. God bless you. It was great hearing from you. As my dad said, look forward to hearing from you again.
God bless you, man.
Take care. All right, let's go to caller area code 916. We're coming to you next. You're live on the Hagman & Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Doug. Joe, it's Lars from California.
Hi, Lars. How are you?
Oh, man. I'm just blessed and excited. And if you can go to a scripture, Luke 11, 29 through 32. And we have arrived because after you read this, I'll tell you what I heard on the news.
Luke 11, 29 through 32. And in 29 it starts, and when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign. There is no sign. There shall no sign be given but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with the men of his generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with the generation and shall condemn it, for they shall repent at the preceding of Jonas, and behold, at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here."
All right. What'd you hear?
Well, I heard on the news last week that these ISIS, they want to rename Iraq Nineveh. And when I heard that on the news, I got excited because that scripture was given to me not even for that reason, but as far as God's timetable. So I know this is the generation. He said this would be a sign. So we should be rejoicing, gentlemen, and our brothers and sisters out there, because it is here. Another scripture would be, I'm going to read this one, Jeremiah 25. I read this the day after the 70-year anniversary of D-Day. So I think it ended a week ago. Sunday, Monday, my reading assignment was Jeremiah 25:11. And Doug, when I read this, I was like, I just said, "Lord, does this mean what I think it means?" It says, "And this whole land should be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come
to pass when 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says Yahweh, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make a perpetual desolation. I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. So when I read that, I said, here we just ended 70-year anniversary. And I was like, Lord, did that spirit be transferred from 1944 and then we're coming out of that 70-year period? I believe so, and what I would encourage the saints to do is start praying and just thanking the Lord for punishing the spirit of the king of Babylon, because that is in so many people, and we need to get that thing out of us so we can walk in the glory of God. And if you go down to verse 15, for thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it. And I was asking the Lord, I said, is this like the full strength of your new wine? And I believe it is. I believe right now that God is just, it is set. And we need to learn to rejoice and let God fight our battles. And he's doing, I've been learning more and more to just surrender and not stay mad and say, Lord, you take care of it. Because God, you're the one that said you were going to be angry. You're going to be furious. So I want to let you do what you do best. So that's kind of it, guys. I'm just excited. I just want to encourage all of us by the Spirit of Living God to just touch us all and give us greater wisdom and knowledge and understanding of the times.
We can always use that. Amen, brother. Thank you so much, buddy. Thank you. Appreciate the call.
All right. Hello.
Very, very, very good.
Thanks,
very
sir.
Good. Wow. Very good wisdom.
We've got one more phone call here. We're going to go to area code 304. 304, you're up next. You're live on the Hagman and Hagman Report. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Doug and Joe. It's good to talk to you again. And this is Phil from West Virginia, and it's good to speak to the audience again. I get to listen to you guys all the time, but a lot of times I don't get to call in anymore. I'm too busy.
How are we doing, Phil? How do you think we're doing?
Doing good.
Okay? Good. Okay.
You guys are doing great. And,
right.
Man, I wish I could have went to that conference with you and could have been there with everybody. That would have been awesome. Well, maybe one of these days we'll get together. It'll be a good time.
There are things being planned. I'll just say that. Who knows? We just want to accommodate everybody, as many people as we can. I should say. So
you guys do such a wonderful job. The Spirit of God is just—he's awesome. And this world that we live in right now is not always going to be like this. It's not what I've been feeling myself. And what I've been hearing, maybe not from men, but, there's a host above us. There's a host of angels, and they're ready to come down here, and they're ready to do their job. And that day is getting really close, because we're not going to live like this forever. Let me tell you, God is not going to let us. He's not going to make us live like this.
Our Messiah is... Our Messiah is coming back, obviously, and he's coming back with a sword, and I don't want to...
And he's coming back with a host. He's coming back with a host. He's not coming back by himself.
Right.
A lot of people, and I'm not saying that he's not going to... Yeah, our king's coming back, but he's coming back with an army, and that army's getting ready. And I'll tell you what...
yep.
People
are going to be surprised.
Closer and closer. They are going to be surprised. I can tell you that. They're going to be very surprised. Because your grandma and my grandma are going to be on that horse. Right there beside him. Watch out. My grandma and your grandma, you don't want to mess with those girls. It's getting closer, though.
Yeah, it's getting closer. You can hear the... You can hear the hoof beats in the distance, perhaps.
Exactly. You know, like I used to, you know, when I, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you know, you could see the cloud of darkness approaching the earth, and now it's covered the earth, basically. But now I see this other cloud, and it's approaching the cloud of darkness, and the cloud of darkness doesn't have a chance. Let me tell you, they don't have a chance. And I hope they're listening tonight. They ain't got no chance.
You can count on it. You can count on the enemy listening. They always do, and believe me, they do.
No, I know. I know they do, and it's just. But that's what I hear, you know. And these angels up there, and even God the Father and God the Son, his face is flint. His face is like a diamond. It's not going to change. It's hard, and it's not going to. This thing that he has to do, that all of us will have to do, is not going to be easy, but it will be done.
Amen, brother. And we as a people, folks, listen to me carefully, please. We have to occupy, and by occupy, that doesn't mean sitting on the couch with your remote and your popcorn. We have to occupy. We have to do our jobs. We have to make sure that we take care of business. Got to take care of business, and that's what we're all about.
Yeah.
Hey, we've reached the end of the program, my friend. Phil, we're at the
guys.
End, buddy.
Love
you
too.
As well. All right, brother. Take care.
All right.
Tomorrow night, V, the Guerrilla Economist, W, the Intelligence Insider, tomorrow night. It's a critical program. And I got an email from V yesterday about the program, folks. I can't even tell you what it – just trust me, it's a critical program. These two guys are going to lay it all out for you. Don't miss it. Tell a friend about tomorrow night's critical program. And then on Thursday, Steve Coyle. He's got some information that he has that fits, buttresses that V&W. So.
We'll be absolutely awesome. Looking forward to it. Want to thank each and every one of you. Stay safe. God bless. Have a great night. Stan, thank you for your time. Great to have you back on our Tuesdays with Stan. Until tomorrow night, stay safe. God bless.
Night.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.